This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, how's it going? KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Jacob, how are we doing over there? Man, I can't hear Kevin right now. How are
you doing?
Oh, there it is.
All right.
We got a new guy on the board today for Alec. He has some work to do here.
Let's talk about this off the start. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors. We have Jacob. Jacob, not an auspicious start to the show.
Not a great start.
What just happened in that breakdown right there?
And what does auspicious mean?
So I can't tell you what auspicious means. That's not in my vocabulary. Yeah, we had Kevin potted all the way down, unfortunately.
You know, but because Sean wasn't sitting there this morning.
Oh,
so,
okay. Yeah,
so. Well, wasn't all the way up at the start. We're good, though.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
Well, follow-up question.
I don't know. It could get a lot worse.
That's true. That is true. Do you prefer Jacob, Jake, some other variation?
So I'm kind of known so far here as Jake. I don't really mind. Jake or Jacob, whatever works for you. So.
What about J-Rock?
J-Rock works too.
All right,
whatever you want.
J-Rock if we want to. He said whatever
I
we
do,
want.
I kind of really do want to call
your
you J-Rock
suggested
now.
Suggested nicknames for our
because
new buddy
Jacob. Because
his
last name does start with an R.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I just always thought that was a cool name. I think I saw it in like How High or something once.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was How High. He said
yeah,
that.
I think you might be How High right now.
J-Rock.
All right. So give us your opinion. Jake, Jacob, J-Rock, and if you think the show will get better from here. These are all the questions that I want to know to start things off. Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Corey!
Yes!
It is Thursday as Whataburger opening day. But I think we should just say it's Whataburger opening week.
I love it.
I don't know what the powers that be will think about this.
I think Whataburger will be happy with it.
Okay.
And if, as long as Whataburger's happy about it,
then everything
I'm happy.
Else is good.
And I think ownership will be happy too.
Okay. I like it. Now, give me cut number 16 because we have some bold but possible predictions for the MLB season, including a couple that I invented about the Rangers.
Rocker ready and the 2-2. Curve swung on and missed. He struck him out. So down goes Veeam.
See, that was much better. That was nice.
Good
I
job.
Liked it.
Proud
Good
of
job.
You.
We're already moving back on the way up. All right. Are you ready, Corey, for bold predictions that could actually happen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I mean, let's start the show off bold.
Okay, good. Let's do that. All right. Bold prediction number one. From MLB, not me. The entire American League playoff field will be different from last year. Now, this has only happened once.
That is bold.
That is
very bold.
You told me to start bold.
That is bold.
In the wild card era. And that is in 2006 and 2007. In 2006, in the National League, playoff teams were Mets, Cardinals, Padres, and Dodgers. The next year, Phillies, Cubs, Diamondbacks and Rockies. So an entirely different playoff field. Now, it's going to be more difficult for that to happen this year because obviously they've expanded twice and there's two more playoff teams. But math says that there is a 2% chance of that happening. And all I think about is the Rangers weren't in the playoffs last year. So if we change the entire field, that means they could be in the playoffs this year. And that is a no-brainer.
All right. Is that happening right now? All right. I don't think this is going to happen. I just think that they're, I appreciate the boldness of it. I just don't think, I think the Rangers are going to be in it.
Okay.
For the long haul.
Okay.
They're in it to win it. That's a fact. All right. I know Chris Young. He is in it to win it for sure. But I just, it just seems like there are some other teams that stayed good, got a little bit better, and I feel like they're going to be back into the mix on this.
Bold prediction number two. Somebody who used to be on our show, who's no longer on our show, might appear on our show today.
Did we know he might appear on the show?
I had no idea he was going to be here.
He's just here and surprising. Yeah. He's in a meeting with Chop and Bobby and Peyton and Spittle and Tim right now. They're all in a meeting.
I'll tell you right now, if Reggie leaves Houston to defect to the morning show, I'm going to be very displeased about that.
It would make sense, though.
Might as well just add him to G-Bag.
He's a star, right? Dude. Yeah. He's a star.
Okay, agree.
Oh, you just said who it was. Now nobody's going to be surprised. Is Reggie, y'all.
The A's and the Rays will both make the playoffs.
Ooh. I think the A's, I think they did a wonderful job. This is smart on their part. They've never spent money, right? Like, they've always been like, no, yeah, why would we ever do that?
That's true.
But they're going to a place where nobody wants to watch baseball in Sacramento, and it's going to be 155 degrees at some point out there on the field. And so they're like, we need to spend a little money to get people interested at least for a little bit. And I think they have some very good young talent. I don't think they're a title contender, but I think they're going to be good enough to be in the playoffs. They're not going to be a pushover.
Neither New York team will make the playoffs.
Oh, dude.
You demanded bold. This is bold. I give you bold.
So they're suggesting that because Gerrit Cole is out, that they can't make the playoffs. Their pitching's not quite the same. They don't have that one guy to do it.
Are you sure that I'm not suggesting it? Because I don't like the Yankees.
Hey, look, that's fine. That's fine. I just think that, and that's a tough division, too. That is going to be a tough division for them. The Mets, they've been so aggressive, though. And, like, everything that they've done since Cohen's got there.
I mean, that's true, but
it hasn't completely worked out, but it seems like he's just going to continue being aggressive. And I think Soto, I think it'll be a good thing for them. Phillies, Cubs, Dodge. That is a tough one too.
So this prediction looked a little bolder a couple days ago. It started to maybe come in focus and maybe be less bold. Still going to throw it out there. Both Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter will be in the opening day rotation. I mean, I realize you're going to see the one starting pitcher, hopefully, Nathan Eovaldi. But what I mean is they'll be in the five when the opening day roster is
announced. We're currently at a place where we have Eovaldi.
Yep.
Malley.
Yep.
We're still waiting on Patrick Corbin to stretch out,
correct,
right? So that's going to be a minute. Rocker, Leiter, DeGrom.
There you go.
Five right-handers.
They signed Corbin for a reason. It's going to happen. And
Bradford was supposed to be like there for a reason too. I'm with it. I think both of them will be there. They'll both get their opportunity. But the thing is, you heard it from Jack Leiter after this weekend. Hey, it felt good to be able to push through six innings, even though I gave up 11 hits.
Yeah.
It felt good to be able to know that I could grind it out and still have that opportunity to put the team in a good position to win. That was important to him. Rocker still has a lot of growth in the game. And, you know, what really scared me, though, was how many hits they got off a Leiter with 0-2 counts. That was a little concerning. So keep an eye on that. But I think this is a good opportunity to see if the Vandy boys can do it.
Next bold prediction that could be proven wrong as early as today. Evan Carter will start the season in the minors. Now, this is something that we posed last week. Some people got really upset. And then more information came out. And they're like, oh, I kind of see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, there was a listener that was like, what? This is clickbait. Has this even been suggested? It's okay. We know things. We know things from time to time. And
what kind of thing?
Things like this. Evan Carter has, the results aren't there. The results have not panned out so far for what he needed to do. There is a real possibility. That's why they went and got Pilar. That's why they didn't. Kevin, how much credit do you give Chris Young and Bochy and Ray Davis for saying, you know what? we aren't completely comfortable there.
A lot.
What if something goes bad? Should we plan for a worst case scenario? A, Chris Young has said that he likes to do that. And B, they did it and Pilar's there just in case.
Look, we've talked all the time about how sports at times should be more of a meritocracy instead of, hey, you were good at one point.
Don't you feel Bochy is that manager?
Yes, I do.
Like, again, this goes with the hot hand thing. Yes. But it is the part of the right now meritocracy. If you've been good right now, I will play you. If you have not been good, I can't.
Ellie De La Cruz will steal more than 80 bases. Now, here's the trajectory. His first year, which admittedly he only played 98 games, 35 stolen bases. Last year, 67 stolen bases. Do you think that Ellie De La Cruz can get above 80 stolen bases this year?
Yes. I think he can if he really wants to. But the problem that's going to keep that from happening is I think he's going to have more home runs this year. And so he's not going to have to steal as many bases.
Okay.
So I think he's going to pop a few more home runs. But, Kevin, did you see the one-of-one Logo Man card that popped on Topps over the weekend?
I did.
That thing was gorgeous.
And see, and I really like what Topps is doing.
Yes, I do too.
In some of these instances, people pulled the cards, but in a lot of them, they're like, here's what you could get if you buy our product. And that's just good marketing strategy right there.
Yeah, it is.
Now, this one, I think you can do this. Someone other than Luis Arraez will win the NL batting title. Anybody. I don't even need you to give me a name, because Arraez won the batting championship in 2022 when he was in the AL. People didn't value him, traded him. He won it in 2023 in the NL, won it last year in the NL. So your choice is anybody in the National League other than Luis Arraez.
That is a man that goes to the plate with one purpose. That is to get on base.
It's true.
It is not to hit a home run. It is not to, he just wants to put the ball somewhere. And his goal is that. So I can't bet against him, Kevin. I cannot bet that anybody else in the field is going to be as effective at it as he is. So I'm not betting against him. That is,
wow.
That is bold. That's a bold prediction to suggest that anybody else can do it. Wow.
Bold prediction from the fan text. Jake Ferguson is a penalty machine and can't block. Adios.
That's not bold. That's right. No, I don't know about the block part. He's actually decent at blocking sometimes. But he was a penalty machine last year. Okay. He was one of the top penalty people.
Which begs the question, will Jake Ferguson be on the Texas Rangers opening day roster?
I'm going to say maybe.
No, the correct answer is no.
You don't know that?
I do know that.
What if he can pitch? And he's a lefty.
Where the hell has he been all this time?
Playing football.
Jerry Jones would never allow that.
You don't think he would?
No.
Had Dion wanted to play for the Rangers, would Jerry have been like, go ahead and play for the Rangers? Or would he have been like, nope, that's not happening?
Yeah, because Dion is a big enough name. Like, if Corey Seager was like that level of player, I could see it happening. Jake Ferguson's not a big enough name for him to be like, yeah, all right.
I love that people are taking part and they're just like, I'm going to throw my bold prediction out. Jake Berger, 35 plus home runs for the Rangers this year. I'm in the 30 range. Ooh. 35 is a good number. I love it. If he's doing that, dude, our offense is back.
See, you said you're at 30. But that's just a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
35 plus. That's a bold prediction.
That's bold.
All right. Bold prediction from MLB.com. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I disagree with this. The Phillies will win the World Series. I think the Phillies will win the World Series once they move on from Bryce Harper, as has been the trend with the Nationals. You just move on from Bryce Harper. That is your ticket.
How would they move on from Bryce Harper?
And they could trade him?
So Wyatt in center field. Bryce still play in the outfield?
No, I'm not saying trade him to the Rangers. Just
what if he did, though?
I mean,
are you suggesting the Rangers can't win the World Series?
No.
He moves to first base.
I am.
And Jake Berger goes to DH.
Okay, because if you were going to put Jake Berger in the outfield, I was going
to has to play more outfield in this situation.
Then,
here's the scenario.
In that instance.
Dude, that's some pop.
I believe they will not win the World Series.
Some pop at the plate.
You'll have a lot of defensive struggles.
Jock Peterson knows how to play outfield. He's not Altuve.
Well, but the actual bold prediction is that the Philadelphia Phillies will win the World Series.
They're good. We just talked about them suing that company over
the data and
the information there. They have put a good team together with Dombrowski. So That is very bold. I'll say no, though.
Okay.
I'll say it's not going to happen.
Here's two more super bold predictions from the 817. Wyatt Langford will win World Series MVP. Well, I'll accept that prediction, even if none of these other ones come true. And then from the 903, now we're talking really bold. Joey Gallo will have 100-plus strikeouts as a pitcher this year. Where? At the rec league park? Or are you saying in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, because in the National League, the pitchers don't hit anymore. So, like, you can't. I don't think you can do it.
That might be the boldest prediction we got, though. The 903 knows what's up.
Some people are hearkening back to the days of Rangers Price is Right, where we suggest give us your wildest, boldest prediction. And I like it, but I don't know that I want to read that on air right now. But I appreciate the 630 for texting that in about Jacob DeGrom.
Do we need to do Rangers Price is Right again on opening day?
Opening day, I think we can do that. I think we should.
And I'm glad that you brought this up about Patrick Corbin, because stuff that was coming out this weekend, obviously we've joked around, Dallas Morning News has a lot of great coverage about this as well, that it doesn't necessarily look like Corbin's going to be ready for the full workload come opening day. So that's why I think Leiter and Rocker are your guys,
right,
especially with moving on from Dunning. We'll talk about that more in a little bit.
It might be what, one tooth runs through the rotation?
I think it's a matter of time before they roll Corbin in there, because we go back to Chris Young, who said he's an innings equalizer, which just means he can stay in the game.
All right, let me ask you this then. Both Leiter and Rocker are pitching six innings, giving up about two runs per game. Do you say we're moving on?
No, I'm not moving on.
You leave it the way that it is and say, Patrick, we appreciate it, but you have to wait just a minute.
Yes.
Okay.
That is exactly what I'm going to do. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk some March Madness. What has been your bracket's biggest triumph and toughest defeat heading into the Sweet 16? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Same play. Dribble handoff. Yep, same play. And then the roll. Nice help by McNeely. Clayton. Got it! A downtown hit!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Where are you going, Reggie?
You can run out of camera view. That doesn't mean you're not here.
He was here for a wedding.
Yes.
And he took an extra day.
For Zero's wedding.
To come see us.
From the 214. So I'm in the airport and I heard Kevin casually drop that Reggie could possibly defect to the morning show. All right, I want to make this clear. I said that would make me mad because he was in the meeting with the morning show. I think Reggie is very happy in Houston.
Unfortunately.
And I think he is having a vacation day and does not want to be on the radio with us.
You get vacation days in this business?
Yeah. You see Sean?
We love you, Sean.
We're I do.
Sean's
love you,
gonna
Sean.
He is Man, so mad about stuff
I'm
like that.
I'm just kidding, Sean. Jeez.
He's the first person to call somebody out for taking a vacation day, too.
Oh,
where's Kevin? I thought you said he likes to work. He hasn't not worked in 7 months.
Yeah. See? All right. March Madness. Here's what I want to know. Your best triumph thus far in your bracket and the toughest defeat that you've had heading into the Sweet 16. And I know, obviously, this has been a big topic of conversation for people. From the 817, Colorado State getting screwed with the big-time walk on Maryland before that last second shot. I think they saw the NBA game a couple days earlier where Trae Young just, like, took a stroll around the court, and they're like, that's fine. No traveling. And then they were like, I guess we can't call it. But let's go to that. First, give me cut number one. I believe Colorado State is losing 70-68 in the waning seconds of the game. They need to make something happen.
And Lake, those are the five for Colorado State. They get it into the hands of Clifford, trying to back down Miguel. Lake, that's for the lead. Gets it. Colorado State up one.
So it looks like Colorado State's going to win. There's
Heck
a timeout.
Yeah.
And like, oh, hey. Then we go to cut number two. You will hear the I feel like it's a euphemism for a travel. He says, okay. Big step. And so, go ahead and take it away.
One bucket to keep its season alive. Gillespie from the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it. Oh! Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
So, in the Maryland call, you got the big step. But They didn't say travel. I've seen multiple articles today that say, like, basketball experts are divided on whether or not that was a travel. I get it. If you're a Colorado State, you feel like you really got jobbed.
When they say basketball experts, do you think they're talking about like current experts and older experts and they're divided because some people are like, hey, that's a travel. And the other people are like, not in today's game.
Trae Young's like, he could have taken at least two more steps and been fine.
Mike's just furious.
Yeah, I could see that. I do kind of wonder if like he watched that and he's like, wow, what a cool ending. Or if he was like, no, it's BS. This is not my basketball. That shouldn't have counted.
Kevin, I just went to look. All of my Elite Eight teams are still in. I'm not missing any Elite Eight team. I'm sorry, but one.
Who's out?
Iowa State. I had Iowa State beating Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has the win there.
And Ole Miss whooped their ass.
And that was one that I had already, I think I, when I did the let it just do it on its own, when I'd auto-filled, it had picked Ole Miss, and I was like, no, come on, what are we doing here? But other than that, every other team is in the Sweet 16, and or in the Elite Eight, and then my Final Four are still in it. And I was afraid this weekend that the team that I picked to win it all was not going to be available. Florida looked like they were going to take one on the chin this weekend.
So I bet if you're listening right now and maybe you're a fan of Michigan State or Houston, that you got some closer than desired calls along the way, because I thought this, it's weird. There wasn't a lot of upsets. Obviously, you got that last second buzzer beater, but I thought there was a lot more compelling games.
Okay.
Because Alabama, obviously, they've already had some struggles in the tournament. Florida and UConn went down to the wire. We'll get back to that in just a second. It took Michigan State a really long time to pull away. Arizona and Oregon went down just to the last few seconds. So there was a lot of super entertaining, super competitive games. And then Gonzaga made their huge comeback against Houston only to fall short. So I am curious what people's brackets look like right now. So your biggest loss, which is not that big right now, would have been the Iowa State defeat then, right?
Yeah, I do believe so. Well, yeah, we'll go with that one, Kevin.
Is there a triumph that you're particularly proud of, whether it's Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. The fact that Florida got through is really impressive.
Okay.
To me. I didn't think they were going to be able to do it. Tennessee being where they are at the moment. Houston, obviously. Everybody doubted Houston.
Did they?
Along the way.
I feel like they've been pretty decent favorites.
Actually, Kevin, the fact that two six seeds, BYU and Ole Miss, are where they are has kind of surprised me. That's probably been the two that have been really like, wow. They've been really putting some good games together.
And it's crazy that there's only one team, Arkansas, that is lower than a six seed in the Sweet 16.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So did they get it right this year?
I mean, like the
committee put the right teams in the right places for the first time?
I guess so, because if you look at it, I think there are only four teams that are out of seed. Like theoretically, if you assume all the ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours have advanced. 12 of the Sweet 16 are ones,
yeah,
twos, threes, or fours. Threes. And then Michigan is a five, so I don't think that's particularly out of line. Man, by the way, Derek Holland's Michigan team, they were losing by, I think, 11 points at some point. Texas A&M, and then they ended up winning by 12. They just annihilated Texas A&M in the second half. So props to Michigan for making it to the Sweet 16.
I was sad, Kevin, to see McNeese State go down.
Yeah.
Because I was telling Adrian the story that you told last week of the amazing, is it Khan?
Yep. Amir Khan.
Yeah. The guy who has taken over the world in social media.
He really has.
And she was like, oh, I can't wait to see him. And they lost. And she was like, guess I won't be able to. And I was like, nope.
See, because like that would have been your one David versus Goliath in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Like, if you think Texas Tech and Arkansas is it, okay, it's a 5.5 point spread. Like, but I get it. Arkansas is a double digit seed. But if you would have had number one seeded Houston against McNeese State in the Sweet 16.
Nobody would have believed you.
Yeah, and people would have been like, all right, I'm here for the chaos versus like, hey, I got Houston going a really long way.
From the 817, NIL is changing things. It happened last year, too. You will see less upsets. I thought what we started seeing with NIL was that more teams that you didn't know about were starting to make their way into it. That you were like, whoa, hold on, because they were able to afford players.
Yeah, see, and that's an interesting concept that you can kind of break both ways, right? Yeah. Because for Kentucky, they literally brought 0 points back from last year's team. There's nobody on this Kentucky team that made it to the Sweet 16 that scored 0.1 for Kentucky. Wow. Last year, which is crazy.
And yeah, so they're where they are.
That shows you the power of recruiting and NIL. Or if you want to go back to college football, you can see a team like Indiana, who kind of came from, I think it's fair to say, relatively nowhere and was in the mix to win a national championship. I think that's because of NIL. So I could see it breaking both ways.
I do wonder, though, if at the beginning of the year, you look at, I don't know, do they chart how NIL money is spent yet? Do
I'm
we have that?
Sure. I don't have that at my fingertips, but I'm sure they do.
If we had a SPO track for NIL money and we were able to see that these 10 teams, these 20 teams, these 64 teams, they spent the most money, would all 64 be in? You know, like, would you be like, oh, and we could basically rank it on the money spent in NIL?
It feels hard to argue, and I still don't think he's coming back. But the best player in college basketball, Cooper Flagg, there's been some discussion that maybe he would come back to Duke. Well, literally the only reason that would happen is because they'll throw all of the NIL money at him, which is kind of weird because on the one hand, you're like, oh, well, that's disappointing for the other schools. On the other hand, this is why people love college basketball to begin with, is you had all these players that stayed in college for a really long time. And you're like, I got to know them and love them or hate them or whatever the case might be. Man, we've got some people that are rolling in their brackets from the 903. I missed on 2 Sweet 16 teams and only one of my Elite 8 teams is out. Because the next person from another 903, I got 14 out of 16. I had St. John's and Memphis in the Sweet 16. If you got 14 of your 16 Sweet 16 teams, you're rolling.
I wanted to go back to something you just said about NIL money and Duke.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be anti what they typically do. Now, I might be wrong about this, but it just seems like they are like, oh, we only had this guy for 1 year. Doesn't matter. We have another one coming in.
That is true.
We have the next one, too. And then the next one as well. So it just seems like that would be, but the what he can bring to your program is very valuable.
I get it. If it's Cooper Flagg, I'd be like, yeah, I'll take some kid's scholarship away because that's what happens, by the way.
I was
going
to donate this money to a charity, but why would I do that?
So I wanted to throw this out there, and I know this is tough. Will Chambers will be stoked to hear this story. Do you think, Corey, that you could root for Kentucky?
Sure.
Okay. Because they're playing Tennessee.
I don't have any like true college basketball allegiances. Yeah.
Okay. Here's why I think you're going to like Kentucky. So Mark Pope, who, as we just talked about, has flipped literally the entirety of the roster. When it came out with where the team was going to be to open the NCAA tournament, Mark Pope said, it's only a 7-hour drive. If anybody is having trouble with gas money, hit me up. And
really?
He said it on his radio show.
Seems illegal.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to get to that in just a second. Then he goes, I'm not going to tell you how to hit me up because I'm nervous about how many people are going to hit me up. So he really stuck with that phrase. So this one gentleman, a Kentucky student, he said he had access to Mark Pope's email address, sent him an email and said, hey, if you could throw me some gas money or a ticket, I'd drive myself and my girlfriend up to Milwaukee to catch her first tournament game as head coach here at Kentucky. Coach Pope's secretary, boom, done. We will take care of your gas money. All he had to do was provide proof of tickets and make sure that no one in his party was within recruitable age between 9th and 12th grade. Because even if you're like,
that makes sense.
That kid's never going to play basketball at Kentucky, that would be viewed as an impermissible gift, and it could get you in trouble.
You ate too much pasta. You owe 75 cents.
Yes. By the way, that's not far off from a real thing that the NCAA did. And said, do those things, and there will be a $100 Visa gift card waiting for you in the men's basketball office. He did those things.
It costs $100 for gas.
I mean, I think they're like erring on the side of let's help this kid out.
Gotcha.
And so he goes, I quickly bought some tickets, the cheapest ones I could get, showed them, went to the office, got the gas money, went to the opening game, and they won. They won again.
I think this is, having been to a Final Four before, having been able to see like how these games go, it's a blast. But I think this is a really cool opportunity. And even if you didn't want to go at first, this is a cool story to be able to tell your friends. Yeah, coach gave me a card so I could go to the game. I got to go. Yeah. I think that's really cool. I like this a lot.
From the 214, just tuning in, is Duke still in the tournament? They are.
They're rolling too.
And
they are rolling.
They won their game yesterday against Baylor by more than the other three number one seeds won their games combined.
Well, that's impressive.
Duke also had the largest margin of victory in the first round.
So they did get effed, like Coach said, UConn's coach.
Yeah. Look, okay.
Why can't I remember his name right now?
So let's talk about Dan Hurley.
Dan Hurley, thank you.
Or Danny Hurley, if you prefer. Look.
You like him, don't you?
I mean, look, I don't like him because I hate UConn.
But.
For personal and other reasons. But he's objectively done an amazing job as a coach. They lost yesterday in, Corey brought up, an uber competitive game against Florida in which, man, it looked like UConn had them.
They were playing great defense in that game. They were making it frustrating on Florida. Then Florida was able to find their three-pointer.
And we haven't had a back-to-back-to-back champion in more than 50 years. And UConn has already won two straight. And so you're like, oh, man, this could be the chance. And so they lost. And Hurley in the post game talked about how they represented and did everything with class. I get you. But at the same time, there's video of him walking down the tunnel and talking to the Baylor players as they're about to go against Duke and say, hope you guys don't get effed just like we got effed. It's the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that might not be the most classiest response.
He didn't say this at the presser.
No.
That's fine.
No, this was like literally he was walking off the court.
He was warning
the
Baylor.
Tunnel.
He was warning the Baylor fans. Look, man, look, it's Duke. You're probably going to get screwed here.
By the way, there's a giant free throw discrepancy in that game. Now, if you watch the game, you can make an argument. It's because one team continually drove to the basket and the other team just kept throwing off three-pointers. But
driving to the basket's important, Kevin.
It is. It is. From the 817, man, there's a few people like this. My Elite Eight is intact. My Sweet 16 sucks. From the 972, I only have 9 of the Sweet 16 teams. But I have 7 of the Elite Eight teams, so I'm in business. 7 teams to the Sweet 16. So is the SEC the best basketball conference or not? I mean, they're on their way to potentially becoming the best ever, which we talked about could be the case. They're already tied for the second most conference wins in an NCAA tournament through 2 rounds, and they have 7 teams left.
So this is the best. This is the best version of it, at least.
Only
they might not be the best forever.
Sure. But only 2 of their teams didn't make the tournament.
There's a lot of money in that conference, though.
That
a lot of money.
Is true. From the 5-1-2, I have 11 of the 16, 7 of the final 8, and all 4 of the final 4. So that's the key. If you have all 4 of your final 4s, you can still be in business right now. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where we say goodbye, probably, to Dane Dunning. Next on The Fan.
Full count again. Runner does not go. And the pitch is swung on and missed. He curved him. A rarely used pitch by Dunning. But he gets Luke Rayleigh for the second out of the inning. Seattle leading 1-0. Justin Turner coming up.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. It is time for Baseball Nuggets. So let's start with...
Yep.
Dane Dunning.
What happened?
Well, Corey, he's been put on outright waivers, which doesn't necessarily mean that he's gone, but it kind of does. So teams have, well, this was 48 hours from when it happened, so I believe through today, to claim Dane Dunning. If you claim Dane Dunning, you take on his $2.66 million in salary. And obviously, Dane Dunning is no more in all, with the Rangers. If no one claims him, the Rangers then could send him to the minors, where he would still technically be under their control and use the roster spot for somebody else. One of the reasons that this was done, well, there's two reasons. First of all, he continued to struggle in spring training, which I'm surprised by and is really disappointing. But also, Adrian Hauser and Patrick Murphy are non-roster pitchers who are still in camp trying to get a spot. Although the thought was that Hauser was not going to make the opening day roster. Maybe something now changes with this. But the point was, neither one of them are on the 40-man roster. So you were going to need to clear a spot if one of them made it. And so that spot gets cleared via Dane Dunning. And I have to say, I'm really surprised about this because he just has such a great brain for pitching, but sometimes that only gets you so far. And he'd had a really tough spring training. And so I think for some people, the writing was kind of on the wall. So I'm bummed. I like Dane Dunning personally, but that has no impact on how you're building your team. But it is unfortunate for him.
So 5 games for him
in spring training. Something like that.
11 innings pitched. 14 strikeouts. 8.18 ERA. So, and his whip was a 1.91. And I guess there's a lot more that they're expecting out of him. But Kevin, I think the biggest thing is their expectation was coming into last season. And I think he kind of let them down. And then he had a bigger hill to climb from there. And he let himself down. He knows it.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I think that the person, the guy's great. But I think he's going to be a fantastic pitching coach at some point. Like, his body has been, he had the hip problem earlier on. His body's been a little bit of a problem here and there for him, and he just hasn't quite found. I hope that he's able to be part of it, because somebody's right here. World Series champion, thank you, Dane.
Yes.
That season, they couldn't have done it without him. He carried so many important innings and so many moments that they needed from him.
And here's another thing that I know people hate hearing. It's not about the money. All right. So we've talked about it all year. It feels like the Rangers have about $6 million, more specifically $5.7 million, to stay below the tax threshold. If they surpass the tax threshold, this would be the third time they're a tax offender. And then they would be responsible for 50% tax, anything over that $241 million. They would like to reset that and go back to, hey, like, we were not an offender, so then if you want to spend more next year, you'll still get taxed on it, but it won't be anywhere near as damaging. So they've got $5.7 million in space, but Tyler Malley has like $5 million of reachable incentive.
Okay, gotcha.
So the potential for some of these incentives to add up and push you over are still there. Now, hopefully that would be a good problem to have, because that means everybody on your team is rocking and rolling. But the ownership group, I feel like they've been really clear that that is something they would like to avoid.
Somebody just asked what we traded for him. I believe that was Lance Lynn. I think it was like a pitcher swap there, and it was Lance Lynn. Dunning was traded for the second time in his career to the Rangers, part of a trade that sent Lance Lynn to Chicago.
So I think
you got good stuff out of Dunning for that time.
And I feel like you just addressed this. Somebody said, why spring training versus what he's done in the regular season? And I think there was still lingering concern about what you saw last season, where he was, unfortunately, a disappointment. But he came into spring training in great shape. He had a great mindset about it. It just, you didn't see the results. And so for the Rangers, I could see how they're like, all right, so I'm going to take this and the disappointment with last year in the regular season, and the fact that if I can cut a little bit of salary, and the fact that I need a 40-man roster spot, and boom, 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 all of it makes sense. Now, again, he could come back to the Rangers if nobody claims him and the $2.66 million, and then he could just be outrighted to the minors by the Rangers, and maybe Dane Dunning is of the belief that he's like, I'll fight my way back up. And
He has to be.
Yeah.
And well, you would be too, right?
For sure.
If something like that knocks you down,
sure,
you take it for a little bit and you go, you know, have a bottle of whiskey and then come back even stronger.
And so that's disappointing for him, but a decision that got made nonetheless. All right, let's quick hit a few more things. Gunnar Henderson, we talked about this last week. He will, in fact, start the regular season on the injured list. One of the best players in all of baseball. We said it was looking like it might trend that way last week, and that is, in fact, the way it's going to go. But I want to go back to the Paul Skeens card.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the story of who bought it is more fascinating than I would have guessed. I honestly just thought it was going to be some person who's a big time collector. They got lots of money and they wanted to make it happen because they think this is a great investment piece. Not that there's anything wrong with that. However, did you see that the card was bought by Dick's Sporting Goods?
Huh? So they're going to have it at the Dick's Sporting Goods? Like everybody, they just have it in a little place to...
In Pittsburgh.
In glass.
Now, they're going to have it.
Dude, that's...
They're going to have the card in a new collector space called the House of Sports Store in suburban Pittsburgh. Now, take it a step further because you still look like you're like, I don't know about this business plan. Dick's Sporting Goods is headquartered in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, like, that's the hub of their operation.
So, they're expecting people to roll in there needing a basketball or
yes.
a glove or
yes.
something.
Yes.
And they're like, hey, let's take a look at that Paul Skeens card while we're here.
Now, they didn't say it like that in the press release because you have to put some fancy language in
right.
there.
Fancy language is important.
So, instead, they said, we're thrilled to bring this special card home and display it in our Pittsburgh House of Sport store where it can inspire the next generation of athletes and collectors. I'm not saying they don't want that, but this is a business move as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a PR thing. It only cost them $1 million. This is pretty genius, actually, on the part of Dick's to do this. Like, this is smart because I do think it'll bring in some conversation. It'll bring in some more. A lot of people might be like, hold on, Dick's Sporting Goods. Of course, I got to go get my kid a baseball bat. Yeah. This, you know,
and go see. The most amazing Pittsburgh Pirates card ever made.
It should definitely take a tour. Now if they had to lay off a bunch of employees recently and they're like, hey, this is going to be our way to pay for it, but we had to lay employees off. Then that would be upsetting.
I'm not gonna lie. If you're like an assistant GM there and they're like, hey, budget, and then they bought this card and you're like, hold on, did I just get budgeted for Paul Skeens' card?
Take a flamethrower to that thing.
I could see how that would definitely, definitely.
You wear a Richard Nixon mask so you don't get caught.
By the way,
he's not a crook.
For Paul Skeens, he was asked about if the Pirates feel the expectations and if they need to go for it. Do you want to wait and talk about that later?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And he said, I think we owe something to the city. We owe a lot to the city and Dick's Sporting Goods. It's our job to go out and win for the city because it's bigger than all of us. There's something about this city. We saw it last summer. We've seen it in videos of the wild card game. I'm tired of watching them because it was a wild card series. The bar needs to be set pretty high. Not taking anything away from those guys, but the fact that that's a golden era of recent Pirates baseball, that needs to change. So, again, I don't know if that does anything to move the ownership group to be like, hey, we really should put some more money into this whole thing and take over, but we'll see if that actually happens.
They better have some good security. This person just texted and said, I hope they have good security. You're right, dude.
Oh,
For that
at
card.
The shop?
You think there's one security guard that's just standing right next to that card the whole time?
I think it should, like the
backup,
Mona Lisa.
Kid.
They should have this big thing of glass over and everything.
Mona Lisa has a guard?
I'm pretty sure.
Sweet.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk about those Dallas Stars, but also the Rangers are represented on this year's All-MLB breakout team, and it's not just Wyatt Langford. Next on The Fan.